Boker Tov. We are continuing Parashat Shemini, and we continue from the process of the eighth day of the Miluim. Mm-hmm. Okay, so far there were 7 days of inauguration of Miluim. Miluim, by the way, where does the word come from? Miluim is to bring someone into service, is limalot et yado.
Like the army in Israel.
Right. Exactly. Right. Okay, so to bring someone into service is limalot et yado. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's where the word miluim comes from, because this is the inauguration, this is the bringing of Aharon and the family of the Kehuna into service. So on the 7 days, the korbanot were very simple. There were 3 korbanot brought every day. Chatat, Ola, Shlamim. And those were brought by Aharon. Now on the, sorry, by Moshe. By Moshe. And in that context, because they were brought by Moshe, when it came to the Shlamim, of which the chazeh and the shok, the chest and the thigh, typically go to the Kohen, Moshe. Now on the... Now, by the end, when Moshe brings the last sacrifice, there's a shalshelet on the word, because
he's humbling
Moshe. No, because Moshe is now parting.
Yes, because he's
and he's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit sad for him to give up on the service. Yeah, yeah. Okay, but on the eighth day, the service is now performed by the Kohen, is Aharon. Okay, and in that context, there are going to be korbanot from the Kohanim.
Yes,
and then the korbanot from the people. Now, the korbanot that are from the Kohanim are probably just to prepare the Kohanim, to perfect the Kohanim
before they can start doing the service for
before they can start representing the people. Yes. Because if they want to be good,
they have to cleanse themselves.
If they want to be representatives of the people, they have to first be good themselves. Yes. And that's why even when in the context of the korbanot of the Kohanim themselves,
they're not allowed to eat it.
It's spoken the language of to bring kapara for Bnei Israel. Even though the korban is really just the korban of Aharon. Okay?
Yes.
Now, what are the korbanot that they were to bring? So the korbanot that we saw were...
Khatat.
There was a khatat,
yes,
and an ola from the Kohanim.
Yes.
And then from the people, they had to bring one khatat, 2 olas, and 2 shlamim.
Yes. So the total is 7.
Right. So Aharon and the family of the Kehuna brought 2 korbanot, and the people brought a total of 5 korbanot, and we're in the process of seeing how those korbanot were brought. So let's continue.
We are close to Sheni Yudalit, I think, or maybe 15. Yeah, 15.
Okay, we are on 15.
Yes.
So 15 begins with the bringing of the korban of the people.
Yes. Maybe we passed that.
No,
we have 15, I think.
Yeah, so far what we've seen, let me just make sure we haven't skipped anything. Yeah, perfect. So Pasuk 15 is a good place to start, because Aharon has just completed the Korban Chatat,
correct,
and the Korban Ola of the Kohen, of the Kohanim. Okay, and as I mentioned, it says... For example, in Pasuk 7, it said, "Va'aset chatatecha v'et olatecha. Bring your chatat and your ola, v'chaper ba'adcha uv'ad ha'am." Why is it that the chatat that he brings is going to be kapara for him and for the nation? Because by doing kapara for him, it enables him to do kapara for the nation.
He's the ambassador for the nation.
So we saw those 2, chatat and the ola, they were brought. Now, Pasuk 15. Vayakrev et korban ha'am. Now Aharon brought the korban of the people. Vayikach et seira chatat asher la'am. He brought the chatat of the people. Vayishchateu vayichateehu karishon. And he did shechita on it, and he sprinkled the blood like he did for the first one.
Yes.
What was the first one?
The first one was
the chatat of his own.
Yes.
His own chatat.
Yes.
Okay. Vayakrev. Now, what does he do with the meat of this korban?
This one that is from the people is different.
Right. This one is from the people.
What was his?
Because
he
what
had to burn
right,
everything.
Exactly. When the
he has to
when the chatat is brought by the Kohen, You have to take everything, the flesh, and burn it outside, the camp.
In a holy place.
But when the chatat is coming from the people, the Kohanim eat the flesh themselves.
Yes.
So it doesn't say that explicitly here, but our assumption is that
this is how the service
Aaron should be eating this specific chatat. He should be eating.
Yes.
The text doesn't tell us what he does.
And whatever they cannot finish eating, they have to burn? Or how does it work?
Whatever is notar. I think they have a day to eat it, and then after that they have to burn.
They were probably very heavy, high cholesterol.
It's a lot of meat. Now, hold on. Now, I'm saying that because it's important. Meaning, notice that the text doesn't tell us if they did eat it. We know that they should eat it.
Yes.
But the text doesn't tell us that they did
eat
it.
You're going to be in a surprise now.
Okay, Pasuk 16. Yeah, the surprise will come tomorrow because I don't think we'll get to it today. Pasuk 16. Vayakre b'ta'ola v'yaseka mishpat. Then, after bringing the chatat, he brings the ola of the people and he does it according to its law. Now, vayakre b'ta'mincha. Now he brings the mincha. What was this mincha? The mincha was a type of voluntary offering, but it was a mincha that came with the olah of the people. Let's just make sure. Mm-hmm. No, it was the olah. It was a mincha that comes with the shlamim.
Okay.
All right. Okay. He brings the mincha. And he lights it on the Mizbeach. He brings a mincha, lights it on the Mizbeach. This was besides for the Ola of the morning. Mm-hmm. Right? He brings a mincha, and that is to accompany the shor and the ayil that were for shelamim of the people. Yeah. The shelamim offerings that were for the people. And they presented him the blood from these shilamim, and he threw the blood on the mizbeach around. Ve'et ha'halavim min ha'shor u'min ha'ayil ha'aliya ve'amchase ve'akelayot ve'yoteret ha'kaved, and from the fats, from the ox and from the ram, the tail and whatever was covering the innards and the kidneys and the diaphragm. Ve'yasimu et ha'halavim alechazot. They put those fats, which we know the fats are going to be burnt,
yes,
and they put it on the chazeh, which we know the chazeh is the portion that belongs to the kohanim.
Yes.
Okay. And they wave those, but then they lit the fats on the mizbeach. Okay, because this is the shelamim.
Yeah.
So we know the rule by shelamim.
Yeah,
of the shelamim, the way it works is you burn the fats.
Yes, and the smoke.
The flesh goes to the owner. The chest and the thigh go to the kohen. Okay. So first they took the fats. They put them on the chest, they waved it, and then they burnt the fats. And we know, of course, they did not burn the chest because the chest is going to be food.
Wow.
The chest and the thigh, Aharon did a waving before God as Moshe had commanded. And then we assume that after waving, he took these portions as his own portion. Okay,
I have a question. Where did they cook? I mean, they had to cook this.
Barbecue.
Where did they do it?
Probably in the chatzer.
You know what I mean? You know,
yeah,
because the altar, they were using it to burn. So they can't
use it.
Whatever you put on the mizbeach, you're not eating.
Yeah, exactly.
You're burning.
So where did they cook?
So I mean, they cooked.
Whatever they had to eat.
They had to cook. Now, remember, Korban Shelamim.
I don't think it mentions it.
No, it doesn't.
Now, remember the difference between chatat and shelamim. The Korban chatat, the flesh must be eaten inside the mikdash. Yeah. But a korban shelamim
is
a lower level of kedusha. It's called kodashim kalim.
You can eat it with your wife,
outside, exactly, outside the mikdash. So they could have cooked it anywhere there, as long as they within
the
day.
Inside
the shelamim has 2 days also, by the way. So as long as they ate it within the first day, within the first 2 days.
The corner.
Right, as long as they ate the shelamim.
Where was it done?
Nobody says that there was
As long as they ate it within the first 2 days, they could eat it outside the mikdash. They probably cooked it outside the mikdash as well. The real question is, where did they cook the chataot? The chatat is where the kohanim took the flesh and would eat it inside the mikdash. So where did they eat the flesh?
Because each fire that there is in the
was holy.
It's holy. So they, you know, it's cannot just turn on fire. Yeah. The sons of Aaron
probably
turned on
had,
the fire and they were killed.
Right. No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't cook on the mizbeach. There was no cooking on the mizbeach.
Yeah, but that was for an altar.
Okay, pasuk 22, kaf bet. So we finished, right?
Yes.
We did the Chatat and the Olah of Aharon and his sons. Now we did the Chatat, the Olah, and the two Shlamim of the people. I do have a question because it seems like they're missing one Olah. It said to bring two animals for Olah, and we only talked about doing one, but we leave that as a question because
again,
we can't answer.
Coming.
We can't. No, that I don't know.
Rabbi, what we need is the Beit HaMikdash so we can go and do all of this.
Yeah.
Practice is all talking, but we have to do the practice.
Okay, but in terms of the Miluim, we've done the Korbanot of Aaron, we've done the Korbanot of the people.
Yes.
So now we have to see
what's
Borei Olam's response going to be to this. What is Aaron going to do? What is Moshe going to do? Okay, the service of the eighth day is done. So now let's see what happens. Okay, Vaisa Aharon et Yadav el Ha'am Vayvarechem. Upon completing the service of the day, of the Miluim day, he lifts his hands to the people and he blesses them. Vayered me'asot ha'chatat v'ha'ola v'ashelamim. And he comes down from doing the chatat, the ola and the shelamim. And then, Pasuk 23, Vayavo Moshe v'Aharon el ohel mo'ed. Then Moshe and Aaron go into the tent of meeting. Vayetzu, and then they come out. Vayvarachu et ha'am. And they bless the people. Vayerach levot Adonai el kol ha'am. And the glory of God appeared to all the people.
Wow.
Okay, wait, last thing. Vatetze'esh milifnei Adonai. And a fire came out from before God. Vatochal al ha'mizbeach. And it ate on the mizbeach, the olah, which was offered in its entirety. And the chalavim, which were from the chata'ot and from the shelamim. Okay? It ate all of those fats that were on the mizbeach. Vayar kol ha'am vayaronnu. And all of the people saw and they cried out in joy. And vayipelu al pinehem. And they fell upon their faces. Okay, so to finish up the thing, Aharon blesses the people. And then he goes into the mikdash with Moshe.
And they come out.
Then they come out and they bless the people again.
Both blessed.
Then it seems like the fire comes from inside, probably from the same place the voice comes. So maybe the fire came from, let's say, inside the mikdash. And it comes out and it burns the ola outside. It burns the ola and the fats of the shelamim and the chatat outside. Yeah. And then the people, upon seeing that, that is seeing the glory of God, and they cry out in joy, and they fall on their faces.
You know what I find interesting? I just look by reading it. I don't really know the source of all the text, but correct me if I'm wrong. But Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of Bnei Israel. He took them out. He was more of he would rebuke them more. This is the first time where I think Aaron came out and he blessed. Somebody came out and blessed the people.
Like
in my opinion, the way I see it is that then they go back inside the tent and say, it's not nice.
You bless
them together. Do it together. Bless them together.
Very possible.
You never know.
I don't know.
You know, Moshe Rabbeinu never blessed them.
No, wasn't there a time when Moshe did bless them?
No.
Look at the end of Parshat. Vayakel. At the end of the construction of the Mishkan, I believe Moshe blesses the people.
Yeah, it says with all whatever was commanded was done. And
yeah,
Moshe, yeah. I think. I think you're right.
Look at the mafti in Parshat Vayakel. Yeah, what does it say? No. Let me quickly find it.
I'm sorry, I delved a little bit outside of the
I don't know, that's what I wanted. I was thinking about it also. Because this blessing...
Why twice? Why does it mention that they go
I know,
and they
why does Aharon first bless and then they bless together?
Very good point. Repetition. Maybe they went in and Hashem told them, go back out, bless them again.
And then, only then, they all Bnei Israel came and they bowed down in the Kavod. Maybe because...
The second blessing was after the
one
fire.
Is for the sin offering, one is for the his
after Hashem accepts the offering.
Yeah. I think that was also the first concept of a real Birkat Kohanim.
Yes,
he came and he blessed.
Yes.
And maybe that's where they came, like the Kohen comes and he blesses and
Shayasem. Shayasem. No. Look up Vayvarech Moshe on Safari, see if you find anything. Oh, found it. Never mind. Okay, it says that in the middle of Parshat Pikudeh, Vayar Moshe et kol ha-melacha. Moshe sees all of the work that was done in the Mishkan. Vehine asu ota kasher tzivah Adonai ken asu. And they did it as God commanded, so they did. Vayvarech otam Moshe. And Moshe blessed them.
Moshe blessed them, okay.
So it seems like Moshe blessed
but
the people.
But he blessed the people or he blessed the Kohen?
Now, is this the same blessing? This, to be honest, this could even be the same blessing as the one we're mentioning here. Okay. Because this is a repeat of the story of the construction of the Mishkan.
This is just when
from the perspective. No. That was also live.
That
was from the perspective of the construction, and this is from the perspective
of the service of the day. Yes.
Right? Meaning they built the Mishkan that we saw in the end of Shemot. They built it, and then they inaugurated it. Now, what happened in terms of korbanot on the inauguration, that's our parasha. So the blessing he gave them at the end of the construction.
But this is together. This is together.
It could be the same as the blessing given at the end of the service, because it's all overlapping.
Yeah, because it's just
that's what people don't understand.
Strange. Like right away they both.
By the way, this isn't. There's one more time when the Mishkan is mentioned, where the inauguration of the Mishkan is mentioned, and that's in the beginning of Bemidbar, and that's a whole other thing. It's from another perspective. That's from the perspective of the Nesi'im and the people and the gifts that the Nesi'im brought. So that's a separate thing. Okay, but so far we've seen the inauguration from the perspective of the construction and from the perspective of
the Kohanim
and the offerings they bring after the construction is completed. Okay, I guess we have to leave Aharon and Nadav and Abihu for tomorrow. But I do want to point out a couple of more things in the text.
You always leave us in a limbo.
Yeah. That's the idea. The idea is that you want to come back. Okay. They did... why are Moshe and Aharon going into the
together
thing and then coming out? It doesn't even tell us what they did in there.
Is it because
they go into the Mikdash and they come out?
The changing of guard?
I think so. I think what they're trying to show Bnei Israel is Moshe and Aharon go in together, but that they come out with new duties. I mean, they come out with Aharon.
And only then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down and then they
accept the Shekhinah and the cloud. Accepts it. So he's changing of guard. He's giving the... Wow.
Right, so they go in and then they come out. That's like the changing of the guard. It's also something that must be done in front of all of Bnei Israel.
Be accepted.
So that the children of Israel see that it is God who is designating Aharon as a Kohen. Because later, in Parshat Bamidbar, when people are a little bit annoyed, people are annoyed that they can't go into Eretz Israel and everybody's angry about something, and everybody, their anger is going to turn into...
You took care of all your family.
Exactly. They're going to be claims of nepotism. So you want to do away with those claims of nepotism by showing all of Bnei Israel together that Moshe and Aharon, that the Kiddusha, that the duties vested in Aharon were designated by Borei Olam. Finally, one more thing to point out. When we saw the construction of the Mishkan, that construction of the Mishkan we saw there God's glory manifest itself in a cloud.
Yeah.
Here,
it's in fire.
The distinction between the two, I don't know, but I just want to point that out because it's probably very important.
Maybe he is in fire because he consumed the...
Right, that's for sure. The manifestation is in fire because he's consuming the korban.
It
was really just a repetition of Har Sinai in which the main force there was cloud.
This fire was not man-made. This is a godly-made fire.
Is a godly-made fire. That's going to be one of the claims against Nadav and Abihu that they said, we can't rely on Borei Olam to burn the korbanot. Yeah. Let's bring a fire ourselves to burn the korbanot.
It's kind of like Cain and Hevel in a way. Like he forced a fire, you know. He wasn't being accepted, so he kind of forced it. No.
It's not. That's not exactly what the text says, but I have to think about that one.
Okay.
Okay. And any last question?
No. This is a repetition of Mount Sinai. Exactly.
So the one in Shemot many more comparisons and parallels to Har Sinai. Because one of the reasons the Mishkan was brought at the end of Shemot to say that God is back. Meaning they sinned with the golden calf, but then with the Mishkan, God comes back. Right? And we're trying to say, you're back at Mount Sinai. You've gotten back to the level where you can experience God at Mount Sinai. But here, The focus of the whole book of Vayikra is more on the relationship between us and God. Yes. And korbanot are much more, they signify that relationship in that our willingness to reach out to God on that individual level, that's representing the korbanot.
But it's also, when you keep kashrut, this is your personal relationship.
Right. So we're going to discuss all of this. But the book of Vayikra is very important because it forms the center of the Torah, right? You have the story of Bnei Yisrael turning into a nation on the first half. Then you have the story of them trying to enter Eretz Yisrael on the second half.
The middle
is Vayikra.
And
Vayikra, the whole point of Vayikra is to be the essential guidebook onto how to live with God.
How to create your character, how to be...
Right, that's why it sits in the middle. It's actually the most important book.
Yes.
Because it's the book that tells us how to be holy, how to live with God. Okay? Baruch Adonai L'Olam.
Amen.
Amen.